Well, people, the Blue Jays find a way not to win, of course, but to inflict maximum pain on the collective psyche of the fan base and everyone who works here. God. I gotta say, I did not have a lot of today's events on the bingo card. You know, Yusei Kikuchi only scratches out 3 innings. The Jays go down by 5 multiple times in the same game. Dalton Varsho hits a nuke to complete a massive comeback. You feel the hope. You feel positive after feeling pretty negative, I would say, most of this game. Jimmy Garcia comes out of the bullpen. You think, gosh, like that's exactly what you want to see after Dalton Varsho absolutely blasts one. And then he blows it, gives up runs for the first time since early April. Jordan Romano gets 2 outs. He blows it to Matt Vierling. The comeback, the offensive showing from the bats, completely spoiled, completely wasted. And the Jays lose 14-11. They lose the series. An unbelievable way to lose. And yet it is completely believable based on what we have seen this season. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to Jays Talk live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and the Sportsnet app. Give us a call. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text me as well, 590-590, name and location. And the people's text line is always open. You know, I remember, and I know you guys remember this, but I remember a series not that long ago. This isn't 2022, right? The Jays travel out west to Seattle, and they get swept in a 4-game series at the hands of the Mariners. And I did Jays Talk for the weekend, same deal that we did with Blair and Barker then. So I was doing Jays Talk for the series finale of that one. And I vividly remember a bunch of you guys calling in, Carlin calling for the head of Charlie Montoyo. And I think that's kind of where we are now, I would say, right? Like back then, that had capped a stretch, I think you want to say, of 9 losses in 10 games. There was a doubleheader in there, I think, somewhere. But even if I am higher on John Schneider than most, this was supposed to be a stretch where you're winning more often than you're losing, right? You had 3 against the White Sox, these 4 games against the Tigers, 3 more against the White Sox, which is coming tomorrow, 3 against the Pirates. So 13 games where the Jays should be winning all those series and should probably be taking what, like 10 of those 13 games? And with today's loss, they have guaranteed that they can only win 9 games in this stretch. And 9 of 13 would also be a fine result, except for the fact that to even get to 9 wins in these 13 games, it now means you have to sweep the White Sox and the Pirates. And if we're all being honest with ourselves, I'm not sure we've seen a team at really any points that makes you feel like they have the ability to win 6 straight games. Good heavens. Oh, let's go to the text line. 590-590, name and location. I always appreciate you guys texting me on the people's text line. Mark from Tilbury says, if you can't beat teams like Detroit 3 out of 4 games, you're not going to beat the rest of the playoff contending teams 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 7 games. This season is over. My expectations are now gone. It's not an unfair comment, honestly, right? I mean, like beyond thinking you got to win 6 straight, essentially, just to get back to 500 effectively against the White Sox and the Pirates. You got June coming up here. June has a stretch of, I think it's Orioles, certainly the A's and Brewers in there, but the Brewers are a good team, but, you know, A's less so. A's have still been pretty competitive this year, but you got Baltimore, Oakland, Milwaukee. Then I think there's a stretch of Cleveland, Boston, and then the Yankees at the end of the month. That is not an easy stretch. And you're already 6 games under 500. You're essentially back where you started before this quote-unquote winnable stretch. Pug in Etobicoke, after a series like this, someone must be fired by Monday morning. When the Tigers and Royals have passed you in legitimacy, you must either resign or step down. Tigers have a brighter future than the Jays, and that's embarrassing to say. Blow it up expeditiously. Expeditiously. Well, good for me for not mispronouncing that word 2 times in a row. I'm not sure I would say the Tigers have a brighter future. They're probably like in the same, they're like right in the same plane, I would say. They're not, certainly not on the Orioles. I honestly don't think I can genuinely say the Tigers have a brighter future, but they have played better for longer stretches than the Blue Jays. And I mean, they came into the series with a better series and a better record prior to the series, and now they're going to leave with an even better one. Let's go to the phones. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to Adam in North York. Adam, what's up?
So that last guy said it, same thing I feel. The season has been over. It's actually been over for to me for a month. But it's time to sell. Sell now, specifically because for two reasons. You'll get much more back. There's teams that would really like Vladdy. And second of all, they're setting up, the MLB is setting up for a huge lockout at the end of next year. When you have Steinbrenner complaining about how much they're spending, you know that they're going to go for a salary cap, and they're going to lock the whole league down until they get it.
Hey, Adam, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for joining me on Jay's Talk. I think there are two things there we could go with. One, I don't think they're going to trade Vladdy. And two, I actually don't think they should trade Vladdy. I'm not saying Vladdy is necessarily the generational player we all saw, but I mean, the guy's hitting over 300. And I understand people are saying, oh, well, he is hitting over 300. He has an OPS of 800 now. You know, strike while the iron's hot, sell while his value is high. But I mean, people have to also play for the Blue Jays. Now I do think when it comes to the idea of a rebuild, I had said earlier that I needed to see what they look like through the winnable stretch, quote unquote winnable, as we know, is not necessarily true. Playing with that, the meaning of that word a little bit here. But I wanted to see what they look like until the end of the Pirates series before I declared myself on board with a rebuild, or at least a retool of some sort. And like you guys are saying, barring some kind of massive turnaround in the next six games, that's where we're headed. But I would be surprised if a full-on, like Adam is saying, blow it up, tear it down to the studs rebuild actually does happen. But there's almost no chance that they can stay dormant, silent on trading the guys who are going to be free agents, right? Yusei Kikuchi, Jimmy Garcia. Unfortunately, they had bad outings today, but Jimmy Garcia and Yusei Kikuchi, Danny Jansen, they're the guys who probably carry the most value. Kevin Kiermaier, Vogelbach, also free agents. I'm not sure what kind of value they have, but I'm sure some teams could use them. I know he had a good day today, but you could probably move on from Kevin Biggio, Ernie Clement as well. I was pretty high on him after he had an outstanding spring, but we've probably seen his best days, and you probably should change many of these players at this point and give some run to the guys in the minors. I don't think you trade Vladdy. The other part of it is I just don't think you'll ever be able to get the value you want back for Vladdy, whether it was Ross Atkins making this deal or someone else, right? I'm not sure you'll ever be able to get that value back for him. He always has struck me as the most likely to stay a Blue Jay, but you've got to at least hear on everyone else, right? You got to at least think about it at this point. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Russ in New Jersey. Russ, what's up?
Rock bottom. This is just rock bottom. You know, bad teams find ways to lose. It's unbelievable that, you know, first of all, they scored 11 runs today, but Detroit's not a good offensive team.
No.
You know, I'm not going to get on Garcia. He's pitched so good the whole year. But the bottom line is, we spoke last Sunday, and I said they should go 9-1. I said, yeah, I know that's crazy to ask for, but I said they did sweep the White Sox last year, both three-game series. But the bottom line is, this team is terrible. And I don't know what you're going to get for Vladdy. He's obviously hitting very well, not for any power. But if there were other guys hitting his power, you know, we always need his power, but his power wouldn't be that, you know, that as much of a discussion, but other guys aren't hitting. Now, today, you get the hitting. Romano's really struggled, you know, giving up that homer to Rutschman a week and a half ago in Baltimore to lose the game. So I don't know where you go from here, but I'll say one thing. Ross Atkins can't make the deals. You can't have a guy being a GM of a team who in 8 years, forget about it, hasn't won a playoff series. He hasn't won a playoff game since 2016 when it was Alex Anthopoulos' team, okay? The guy has talked and talked, and they fired a million people, and he's ran it his way and this way, and the bottom line is we haven't won a playoff game. How many teams haven't won a playoff game? I would say 6 or 7 if I'm guessing.
Right.
How does this guy still have a job? He's going to be asked to rip it down, And, you know, supposedly they ripped the, not him, but Shapiro, who's another problem, ripped Ross out, ripped Alex Anthopoulos in that famous meeting. We're told, how do you have no minor league system? Well, the Blue Jays don't have a minor league system either right now. They're from the worst in the major leagues. So you can ask a guy who for 8 years hasn't won a playoff game to rebuild his team. I'm sorry. In New York, the guy would have been out 3 years ago. They would have ran him out of town. This is a total joke that this guy's still here. And we'll see what happens. But, you know, you're not going to get much for Ernie Clement. You're not going to get much for Biggio. You'll get something maybe, you know, half decent for Danny Jansen. Jimmy Garcia's a bullpen guy. You know, you'll get a little bit for him. And I don't know who else you threw out
there. Kikuchi
maybe. Yeah. Kikuchi, yeah, you might get something decent for him. He's a starting pitcher. And, you know, everybody always needs starting pitching. So you could definitely get. But you know what? It's got to end. It's got to end. Atkins got to go. You know, maybe Shapiro will never go because he made the stadium. That's another thing I don't
know. Okay, Russ, I'm going to let you go.
Mark Shapiro.
There you go. Oh, he's back? He's gone? Okay, he's gone now. Russ is gone. The phone crapped out. But I think we understand the idea, the gist of the last point about Mark Shapiro also needing to go and, you know, staying on because of the renovations and so on. Look, on the Ross Atkins piece, I kind of agree that if you are going to tear it down, and I'm going to talk about why I think a full-blown fire sale rebuild versus just trading the guys who are pending UFAs, we'll talk about that in a very brief second here. But if you do think a fire sale is what needs to happen, and I think a lot of people are on board with that idea, I laugh because it's kind of sad, honestly. But if you are one of those people, then I gotta think you are like Russ and think that the person making those calls on trading, even if it is simply Jimmy Garcia, Yusei Kikuchi, Danny Jansen, Kevin Kiermaier, so on and so forth, can't be the guy who has already constructed the roster that you have before you, right? I said this before a couple of times, but just the idea of getting to, what, this is year 9, I suppose, 8 full years, now in year 9 of the current regime, and being where you are now is demoralizing, obviously, because you kind of felt like you'd be so much farther along. And even if you know, even if it wasn't like, even if the end goal, the outcome wasn't going to be where the Orioles are necessarily, you know, you kind of felt you were going to be farther along, and because the development of, you know, you get Vladdy hitting like Adley Rutschman and Bo hitting like Gunnar Henderson, just as to make the comparables, because those are the two guys we talk about all the time on both teams, right? But that's not what you've gotten, and you've continually surrounded the guys who have not hit that consistently with guys who have also not hit that consistent. Like the team has basically been stocked full of guys who, if they have like average offensive seasons, it would like largely be career years, it feels like. And I mean, I don't know, I gotta look at all the stats for all those guys, but that's what it feels like, certainly. And that's how it's played out for like 210, 215 games at this point. I don't know. I think the reason also you don't see a true rebuild now, because if these struggles continue into mid to late June, and the schedule is, like I laid out earlier, Guardians, Red Sox, Brewers, Orioles, Yankees at the end of the month. But if the schedule is tougher then and you're still losing games and you're like still 6 games under 500 or worse, then if they continue, the only big move really mid-season that can truly be made, if you really don't want Ross Atkins making those moves, then the only move that can be made is to fire the manager, right? Like, I without looking it up, I don't seem to recall, and I think that maybe the White Sox were the last team to do this, because they did fire their GM and team president, like, in a really, like, completely out of left field move, but that was last year or the year before. But generally, GMs and presidents don't usually get fired mid-season, right? Which is, and even if that is a change that needs to be made, it probably should be made. The other part of the discussion is, you know, whether we like this or not, after a huge amount of privately sourced money was spent on the stadium, is Rodgers really prepared to tear it down to a level where you're experiencing even worse baseball than you're getting now? I would wager they are not, right? I would generally think they are not. But, I mean, they got to do something. At the same time, like, I think it's impossible to sit on your hands. That's what it is. It's impossible to sit on your hands without, because if you do sit on your hands, you're essentially saying this season is lost. And I think we're at the point now where, unless they do go on some massive winning streak for the rest of the year. Like, well past this quote-unquote winnable stretch, then it is lost. And I think a lot of people on the text line are saying that as well. Let's see. I see here a text on the text line. Andy from Barrie. What makes it so difficult to listen and watch the Jays up to this point is that it seems like there's a slow-mo car crash taking place. You're waiting for change to happen and take place, but there's no will to rip off the Band-Aid. Andrew from Kitchener. I guess we'll just have to tip our cap to the Tigers. Time to sell. Start with Turner, Kikuchi, Pearson, and Springer. Oh, wait. Atkins incapable of making any moves. I got to say, Turner certainly could carry some value. Also, the guy, I hadn't been including him in the guys who were impending free agents, largely because he's played kind of poorly, unfortunately. But I'm not sure what value Pearson and Springer have, because Springer has a lot of money left on that deal, right? A lots of money left in the deal. And, you know, it's too bad when if you, like, DFA a guy, you're still responsible for that guy's money unless someone else signs him. So, I mean, and the guy, it has to sign, like, you know, if another team signs him for, like, $1 million or whatever, then you're still on the hook for the difference, right? So, I don't know. It's just, I don't think any changes are coming with Springer. I'm not even sure what value Nate Pearson even has on the other side. You know, like, maybe it will be like an Al Leiter situation. And I know he was injured way worse in his Blue Jays career than he left and kind of remade himself elsewhere, but could be that, where his best days are in someone else's uniform. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We're going to talk to Graham in Toronto. Graham, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon. And I don't think John Snyder should be the scapegoat. You know, they're saying he's doing the right things, and I feel like for me, I'm a big Dallas Mavericks fan.
Okay.
And I saw what the Mavs did, and when they got PJ and they brought in two really nice pieces, and that took them from an okay team to now looks like they're going to the NBA Finals. So I think that my thoughts are it's not a fire sale. It needs to be some good strategic, some guys on our team, like your Snyder, your Clement, your Clement, some players that have got value, get out there, get a couple of good ones in and see what you can do for the back half of the season.
Well, Graham, do you think Ross Atkins is the guy to make those moves?
Absolutely not. And, I'm from Australia. I don't know the days and what happens in their clubhouse, right, or in their offices. But I just think that what we've seen and what I've heard on this show, they're saying for the last 8 years. So we really need to make a change there. Bring a person in that can make some good strategic changes, a la the Mavericks, what they did. Because the last thing I'll say is, you know, Luka Doncic, like, our starting pitchers, you could put our starting pitchers as a all-star type, you know, some of the top in our in baseball, like a Luka. And now if we can bring in a couple of bats through and see what we can do to turn this season around.
Hey, Graham, I appreciate the call. Thanks for joining me here on Jays Talk. I'm with you guys. I think I'm not sure you want the person who has put you in this predicament when it comes to roster construction continually making those calls. But like I said, I'm not sure I see Atkins getting fired mid-season. I could see them cleaning house in the offseason, but gosh, it's May 26th. The end of the season's in September. There's the whole rest of the season we have to experience of this. It's not positive, right? I don't know. Like, I would say rebuilds too are so tricky when it comes to fire sales. And I know that's not what Graham was advocating for, even though a lot of you guys are, but you know, I want to feel like the only team it's really worked out for in my lifetime are like the Astros probably. And that was when they were losing. Remember like around 2009 onwards, like what, 2015 or so, they were losing anywhere from like 85 to 110 games a season in that stretch. And then like they finally got out of the woods and they won a pair of World Series. One with some trash cans, but still. But you want the team to be in the same boat as where the Orioles were post rebuild if they have to endure that. But that took them a long time to find their way out of the wilderness, right? The Tigers have been bad themselves for a long time. The Orioles, for example, it could still work out for them in terms of playoff success. They're at least putting themselves in the right spot to be successful. But they haven't had playoff success yet. Again, it's been like a relatively, the window's only been open for a short time. So, it's certainly not writing the Orioles off by any means, but there are just so many factors that have to go right for a rebuild. Like, you have to, like, on top of actually experiencing, like, losing a 90 to 100 games a year, you now at least, you also have to win a lottery to get a top six pick. Then you actually have to have these prospects be, like, you know, actually good, right? It's possible you get a top six pick and they either don't play for years or they, when they do play, they're busts. Like, I think you look no further than someone like Austin Martin. I think there are a lot of people who are convinced that was, like, a lot of prospect capital to give up. Honestly, look at Gabriel Moreno. He hasn't been doing that hot recently either, right? I mean, far be it for me to relitigate that trade. We don't really have to, but I mean, gosh, Varsho has been better than both Moreno and Lourdes put together. And we didn't think that was going to be the case even last year, right? So I don't know. There are just so many factors that have to go right for the Blue Jays and that work against them when it comes to going full-blown rebuild. Having said that, if you're going to replace Ross Atkins, I mean, James Click is probably the guy you want heading up the GM role if that does happen. I've asked around. People have said this in different ways, but that Click is essentially the Jays, you know, long-term strategy guy. He's capable of looking, and we kind of talked around this yesterday, but he's capable of looking way down the road, like years ahead down the road. We just talked about the Astros. He comes from the Astros system. So you would think all that stuff makes you pretty qualified for prospect evaluation slash restocking of the farm system, which is relatively bare right now. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Giacomo in Windsor joining us. Giacomo, what's up?
Hey, show. How's it going? Stick with me for a second.
Sure.
I don't think they should fire necessarily Schneider, even though they probably will. Like, what else do you do? You can't fire all the players.
Yeah.
You're probably not firing Shapiro. You're not firing Shapiro. You're probably not firing Atkins midseason. But here's the thing, and I know this is going back, but if he was a leader, Atkins would have said when they pulled Berríos back in that playoff game, we all know it came from him or above, and it came down to Schneider. Instead, Schneider takes that bullet. So it comes, and I know, and these skippers. Like, I think it was Kevin Cash back 3-4 years ago or a couple years ago in Tampa. They pulled their pitcher with a low pitch count in a playoff game. And even just going back to yesterday, you guys talked about it, and I couldn't agree more yesterday. Why wasn't Danny Jansen in the game? So my point is, the skipper doesn't really, especially these younger guys, they don't really do that much in today's game. They're force-fed from above. So at the end of the day, you're not going to get much for all these restricted guys.
Right.
You know, if we're going to try and, like, they're not going to trade Bo and Vladdy. You're not getting rid of the upper management in the midseason. So, yeah, fire Schneider. But this all comes down to Atkins. If he was a leader, he would have been the one after they pulled Brio and said, no, this came from me. This is on me. But no, what did they do? They threw Schneider under the bus. Shapiro didn't really back up Schneider back when all that happened back in the day when they pulled the I forget his name. Anyways, you know, so to me, yeah, Schneider's going to go, but I think Atkins is at the head of the snake. He's the one who's not being a leader, and this falls on his shoulders. Love the show. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks for joining us, Giacomo, on Jay's Talk. It is true. Like, I feel like every time Ross Atkins, like, opens his mouth, it basically does not go his way, which is unfortunate, which is maybe honestly why they don't have him talk to the media all that much, because he generally speaking, has not... and I've said this before, but because he and generally, I would say the Blue Jays as a front office organization have been, like, relatively opaque when it comes to trying to, you know, share information to the fans and even to the media, really, you know, it hasn't really gone well for him, generally speaking, but it's true. I mean, I've always thought that because coaches talk to the media all the time, right? Like, that's kind of almost why, like, whenever John Schneider says something, I kind of think, like, God, he can only rearrange his words in a sentence X amount of times before he, like, runs out of combinations to say to people, essentially, right? Like, especially when the same thing happens over and over and over and over again, you can only say things in a certain way a certain amount of times before it becomes repeating yourself, right? And he has stopped just short of calling players out. And today, I mean, what are you gonna do? Like, they actually got 11 runs from the Blue Jays offense, and it gets completely wasted. Then you have Ross Atkins, who then talks and largely, unfortunately, says not a lot. And I've always been of the opinion that when GMs talk to the media, GMs are the ones, like, you kind of have to have something to say, right? Like, I know I used this example before, and it's just in the back of my mind because it happened so recently, but in the previous round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Don Sweeney went to the media to, like, complain, essentially, right? Like, the Bruins GM, he went to just complain about the officiating and about, like, the treatment of his players and about Brad Marchand taking a high stick and Sam Bennett doing all these things. I don't really care about that because I don't really care about either the Bruins or the Panthers, but he, like, effectively, like, told the media he was going to be doing all this stuff, and he basically laid out all what he said he thinks needs to change. And again, sure, like, is anything really going to change based on that? No. But I just feel like you might as well have a defined goal of what you are going to get across to the media when you talk to them. And because really through the media, you're really talking to the fans, and it just, we haven't ever really gotten that, I would say, with Ross Atkins. To Giacomo's other point about Shapiro, I would say Shapiro, like, whether or not this is a good thing, but I would be surprised even in the off season, if he were to go, I wouldn't be surprised, even though in the past Atkins and Shapiro have been relatively joined at the hip, you know, in Cleveland, Shapiro was the GM. And as Bob, I think it was, who pointed out yesterday, and I appreciate it, Bob, that Atkins was the VP of player personnel in Cleveland, then it became the GM taking over for Tony LaCava here when he joined Shapiro here. But, you know, I've got to guess that Shapiro's probably pretty safe. I'm guessing, right? Because of his role outside of baseball. But gosh, you got to think that a change has got to be made. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Did that call drop? No, we're going to go to Ryan in Saskatoon. Yeah, Ryan in Saskatoon. There he is, joining us here on JSOC. That's my bad. Ryan, what's on your mind?
Hey, Joe. You know, as a fan, I'm completely frustrated as the losses pile up, but also the lack of continuous talent waves that the Blue Jays front office promised us, especially when you compare the Blue Jays to their prospect promotions and successful teams like the San Diego Padres and the LA Dodgers. And why do the Blue Jays seem so hesitant to promote prospects during the season? You know, especially considering their success with, or such as David Schneider,
right.
I think, like, it's a huge challenge for me as a viewer when you have prospects in the minors and you watch Daniel Vogelbach bat 174. And I understand he doesn't have a lot of playing time to give, but at the same time, I would rather see somebody with a higher upside, or at least a potential upside, like a Spencer Horwitz, than that guy up in the majors. I was just wondering your thoughts.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ryan. I appreciate you calling in from out west. I kind of do think it's time to see other guys, because especially for the guys at the bottom of the roster, right? And this is not a slight against Ernie Clement beyond, I just think maybe we've seen what his, like, the ultimate ceiling is for Ernie Clement. And actually, IKF has largely played pretty well. I think the only knock on IKF is that he is getting paid, relative to that production, I feel like he's getting paid, quote unquote, too much. But again, I mean, that's almost like it's a separate problem, right? So, but I don't think you can really blame too much right or too much wrong, I should say. You could certainly give him some credit, but I don't think you can blame too much of what's going wrong specifically on IKF. But I mean, Biggio, I know he actually played pretty well today. So today's like the wrong day to crap on what he's been doing, but largely has not played great. Maybe he does turn it around, and I know he's well liked in the clubhouse, certainly by the front office as well. But maybe we've seen what the ceiling is for Biggio as well. So if that's the case, right? Like, if you've seen the ceilings, to Ryan's point, of Biggio, of Clement, of Daniel Vogelbach, if you're not really sure that Joey Votto is ever going to play for this team, and I'm not sure that he would, honestly, but let's say that he would, and that's an option down the road, you probably still are better off with calling up Barger and Horwitz and or Elvis Martinez. And I've resisted saying that you need to call up Elvis Martinez because he makes a lot of errors. He's cooled off actually pretty substantially in the last couple of weeks, post getting hit on the knee or the leg or whatever by an errant pitch. So maybe he's still working his way back from an injury in some way, shape, or form. But gosh, I mean, the real logjam to bringing those guys up in the first place was that there was no playing time. But I mean, if you make playing time for them by getting rid of some of these other guys, unfortunately, as much as that would mean for them and their careers, then you probably do it, because that's probably, people often ask, like, what's beyond firing people, like, what's the way to turn this around? And Honestly, I've said this before. I don't think there's a really one size fits all solution here, right? It just kind of feels like if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to just keep smashing a square peg into a round hole over and over and over again. And that, as we've seen for like 210 plus games now, does not work. Let's go back to the phones. Let's get to Mark in Detroit. Mark, were you at the game? Mark, are you there? Oh, Adam. Sorry, Adam in Detroit. Adam in Thornhill. Pardon me, Adam in Thornhill.
Hi, how are you?
There you go. Sorry, I was reading the wrong line on my screen here. Yeah, what's up, man?
Okay, so first thing I wanted to say is I'm 42 years old. I started listening to the Jays talk when I was about 7 or 8. And I remember when it was on the old CJCL 1430. That's how old I am.
Right.
And I just wanted to say that you do a great job
in
the legacy of Scott Ferguson and Mike Wellner and even a very young Dan Shulman who
That's
did
right.
it a little bit back in the day. So good job by you, man. Just
Thank
wanted
you.
To throw that out there.
I appreciate it.
In order to fix this problem, we first have to circle back and identify how we got here. I remember 10 years ago, a lot of baseball pundits were saying Alex left the cupboards bare.
Right.
That was the big buzzword in Toronto. Well, if you look at going into last year, just before the Varsho trade, Gurriel, Guerrero, Jansen, Romano, Meza, all were brought here by Alex, either through the international draft or through the traditional MLB entry-level draft. That's almost 20% of the roster that Alex still has his mark on years after not being with the organization. That just shows the brilliance of who he is, and that's why he's won Executive of the Year in both leagues. Ross Atkins is not a great evaluator of talent in terms of not understanding the talent that he has, not understanding the value of what he's giving away, and not understanding the value of what he's brought in. He's not particularly a great public relations man, and it's time for a change with that. That's no doubt. We all agree on that. The only thing that we have to determine now is whether we blow this thing up or not is based on what are we going to do with Guerrero and Bichette? Because in my opinion, is however inconsistently they've played, these are two of the most talented baseball players, not only in the world, but that I've ever seen come through the Jays organization. And I think that we have to seriously, if we were going to give Shohei Ohtani $700 million, and we were going to spend, like, the other part of Ross Atkins is that he's had a greater budget than any GM that's ever been ahead of Toronto Blue Jays. Okay, so he's had all the resources from Rogers. In all fairness, like, Rogers has given him the money, and he hasn't done well with it. And the point is, when you look at, and then I'm not picking on individual players, but Kiermaier's making $10.5 million this year. He's basically, at this point, 35 with a replaced hip who doesn't play every day, and he's a great defender, not much of a bat. Kiner Falefa's getting $7.5 million. These are all numbers based on Baseball Prospectus. And Chad Green, great pitcher, you know, but he was slotted to be our seventh-inning pitcher. So you have a seventh-inning pitcher, a fourth outfielder, and a fifth infielder, and you're paying them $29, $30 million this year. So, like, that's a superstar. That's what Juan Soto's making this year, right? And the redundancy of having all these guys, oh, this guy plays second and short and third, and he can play a little left field. It's good to have versatility, but you also have to have defined roles in your lineup. That's what works. Consistency works. And I don't know why we threw away Santiago Espinal and then signed Kiner Falefa for four times the money. I mean, I can't really see a significant difference between the two players. I mean, they're backup middle infielders who, you know, provide a bit of defense and not much pop. So why even bother? So these are the type of moves that Atkins is doing that's been, I think, failing this team. I would just have to say that the only way moving forward is, do we sign Bichette and Guerrero? I think we should, to career contracts, and then start to move out all the expiring contracts from here and rebuild in the offseason. If not, then you got to trade them now, unfortunately, and get whatever you can, because you won't be able to get nearly the value in the offseason. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Adam, thank you so much for joining us on Jays Talk. That's a great call. So certainly a lot there from Ross Atkins' ability to evaluate talent. I think that's also a big reason why when you look at what's going to come next, you kind of feel like he shouldn't be the guy, right? Because you want someone who is maybe more focused on that. I mean, that's kind of what they did in Boston, right? Remember Boston? And Boston had some other issues too. And, you know, there was a question as to whether or not the Red Sox would re-sign Rafael Devers, for example. But then they hired a GM who essentially was responsible for restocking the farm system. And then, I mean, like, they fired the guy as soon as they felt like the farm system was done, they fired him, right? And that happened pretty recently. But I kind of wonder if, I don't know if you're necessarily hiring the next GM to fire him, even though that's kind of, I mean, you hire all sports personnel, managers, GMs, coaches, whatever, to be fired effectively. It's unfortunately how it is in a results-oriented business. But, you probably should be looking for someone like a James Click, who it works for you already, that should be doing that. As for Bo and Vladdy, I've said this a couple times. I think Vladdy is the one who is most likely to stay because he's been the most, I think, very, very consistently talked about how he wants to be given a long-term deal for the Blue Jays. I wonder what that looks like for Vladdy. Even if he is what he is now, is a guy who has not hit for a lot of power, but still gets on base a lot. He had a great day today. I think he went 4-for-5. He was phenomenal today. And now his batting average is, I think, right around 300, might be just a tick over 300, an OPS of around 800 as well. And now that is not an elite player. So I think we're past that now, right? I mean, we asked this question on Jays Talk for the last couple of years. Like, is Vladdy an elite player? I think we have answered that question that maybe he's not elite, but he is still very good. I would keep your very good young player and hope that he finds some of the power going forward. But, I mean, are you doing that at the Julio Rodriguez amount of money? Probably not, right? Bo has always struck me, and again, I say this without any insider information, but Bo has always struck me as someone who's probably not going to be here long term. I would like to be wrong about that, genuinely. I would love to be wrong about that, but maybe it's just because of the position he plays. Shortstops are just generally in more demand. And there was a text yesterday, and I forget your name, but someone had texted in about how Bo needs to long term. Might have been Mark, honestly. Mark from Thorold, maybe, but someone had texted in about Bo needing to be a second baseman long term, kind of like Marcus Semien, essentially. And I could see that, but as long as he's a Blue Jay, I would be surprised if that ever happened, right? And you also got to think second basemen probably don't make as much money, generally speaking, as relatively versatile shortstops, right? So I got to think Bo's going to be a shortstop for as long as humanly possible. But I mean, if you could resign both, great. But got to think that if there's one they're gonna try and get done is certainly they're gonna try and get done both, but one that would be agreeable to getting it done on the player side is probably Vladdy. I would be okay with that, but again, it can't be for like $300 million for a first baseman, right? I mean, how many first basemen are getting paid that much money? Without looking, I'm gonna guess none, or at most one. But that's going to be a big sticking point in this next, year and a half. Let's take one more call before we take a break, and we'll get some more calls on the other side. I messed this up last time, but Mark in Detroit does join us now. Mark, what's up?
Okay. How you doing?
What's up, man?
No, I was not at the game today or any of them this weekend, which made the weekend a little more palatable.
Yeah, feel it.
I would not have been able to sit through that. I said when I called in, is this the straw that breaks the camel's back? I don't know what they do. I don't think that I know Atkins is not the guy to do it, but they're going to have to make some hard decisions, and you guys have already kind of alluded to that. And I don't know how quickly you can make a GM change. I heard something interesting on, I think it was on MLB Network, and they said that, Atkins' whole focus was to get run prevention, and the Jays are actually the number one team in MLB at run prevention right now. And it shows you where that got them, because they're basically in last place and a joke of a team. And I'm originally from Toronto, and I live in Detroit, the Detroit area. And all my friends here said, the Jays are going to come in and kill the Tigers. The Tigers suck. And I said, you haven't watched the Jays. The Jays can't. They're not going to. They're probably going to lose 3 or 4. And I think that the other teams that they have this so-called weak point in the schedule were circling this part of the schedule for them when the Jays came in saying, you know what, we can win these. I don't think it was the other way around.
Yeah, you're probably right, Mark. Honestly, thanks for the call, man. You look at the way the season has unfolded, and you look at the teams coming to Toronto or the teams that are at least going to be playing the Blue Jays in the not-too-distant future, I bet all of them think that these are, quote-unquote, the winnable games, right? These are the games that they have to win, right? Like, if the Orioles want to win the division, they kind of have to beat the Blue Jays at the Rogers Center in a couple of weeks, like, three out of four times, right? And it's weird because the Jays, like, I think what gets me with this team is that they hang around in tantalizing ways just to give you enough hope to think that they will do it. And I think that's why, and I've seen some texts on the text line today that would suggest that you guys are all kind of on the same page with me in the sense that even if they were to have won this game and they go out and they scratch and claw their way back to 500 over the next six games against White Sox in Chicago and the Pirates at the Rogers Center next weekend, that, you know, it'll won't be like you're only going to be fooling yourself into changing what you believe the ceiling of this team is. And now I don't think this team is the worst team in baseball, but they have certainly played with it so in such an uninspiring fashion that even if they were to get back to 500, unless they showed something in that stretch that really showed me they were turning it around and not just like winning 2-1 games or 3-2 games and relying on Kikuchi and Gausman and Bassett to get like through seven innings of work every single time without any run support, then like maybe that would change my mind. But the truth is we haven't seen that, right? We haven't seen that at all. So I don't know. Even if things change, I feel like we are all on the same page in that we know what the ceiling of this team is. Like I know people are fond of saying it's early and hand up. I've said that before, but you know, I think it's, even if it is early and even if factually there was a text here about the Washington Nationals. I can't find it anymore because there's a lot of text coming in here, but there was a text about the Nationals, how, you know, when they won the World Series in 2019, they were 12 games under 500 at one point, and then they made the playoffs and they beat the Dodgers and then they were out there winning the World Series and so on. And that is true, but there were underlying things about those teams, right? There was a line about how the 2015 Blue Jays were X amount of games under 500. They were under 500 like in July, and they had a lot of great underlying metrics, including a great run differential. And none of those things are unfortunately true for this version of the Blue Jays. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, read some text, 590-590, name and location, and get to a couple more of your calls on the other side as well. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. More of your calls and texts on the other side. Blue Jays lose 14-11 to the Detroit Tigers to wrap up the series. You're listening to Jays Talk, Show Alley with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, it's been a grind for them. You know, I think, you know, looking at the season for Jimmy especially, I mean, today's, you know, his only hiccup, really. And I'll take my chances with him and Jordy any day of the week. But I think the other guys, you know, they're fighting an uphill battle a little bit. They're battling themselves. Some guys coming around, but I think we're giving up home runs. You know, that's the thing. I think they're in a little bit too much of the zone. You know, looking for a lot more swing and miss out of those guys.
That is John Schneider talking about the bullpen struggles of this team, which has been, I got to say, a part of this team's struggles overall that I don't know if I necessarily anticipated. Like you kind of could say to yourself, oh, okay, well, the offense was going to struggle because they didn't make relatively large changes, but a bullpen that was as relatively speaking well-stocked as this team was when it comes to Swanson and Cabrera and the other guys, Chad Green, certainly, who's been injured for a large chunk of the year, but those guys, in addition to Jimmy Garcia and Jordan Romano, I think you probably felt like at least okay. If they were in an elite bullpen, you probably felt okay, and they have been statistically one of the worst units in all of Major League Baseball. The circle of trust is pretty small these days, let's put it that way. But I don't think anyone's worried about Jimmy Garcia. Until it happens, like, more and more and more, I don't think too many people are worried about him. And hey, maybe a glimmer of lights at the end of the tunnel for Eric Swanson. Five straight scoreless outings for him now. So, but still, they need more. And Jordan Romano blew the save, or blew the end of the game, I should say, because it was tied at the end of the game. The Blue Jays do lose it 14-11. I'm Sho Ali. I'm here for another couple of minutes until the top of the hour here on Jays Talk. Let's go back to the phones and get some more of your phone calls in here before we go. Let's go to Steve in North York. Steve, what's up? Steve, you still there?
Yes, you there?
Yeah, what's up, man? What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Atkins.
All right.
And listening to you for the last week, few days, whatever, you keep saying that it's only May, and how can you fire a general manager in the middle, you know, at this early or whatever?
I'm not saying you can't fire him. I'm just saying people have not fired their general managers this early, generally.
Okay. So It doesn't matter what other people have done. This is a business. There's Rogers is paying $235 million or $230 million for this team of players where the results are what they are. And yes, they can have their 9-0 games or their 7-2 games that they win, but those are rare. This team is what it is, what it looks like. Ross has to go. There has to be changes in this team, and you can't have Ross be the one making the changes. He's had this is the ninth year
right.
to make changes. And I blame this a lot on Mark because Shapiro is his boss. The two are attached at the hip. We all know that. But there's a time where accountability has to come in. And I don't understand why Mark doesn't hold Ross accountable and where ownership, who's paying this kind of money, and you know, Sportsnet, media guys, yourself, Barker, Jeff Blair, all you guys cannot defend Atkins anymore. All you guys did your best for years to defend him. And the thing with Ohtani coming, I never believed he was coming. John Schneider being the manager, Ohtani wasn't coming here. Atkins always does this. Every year it's some big name that we're going after, and he's bringing his big name because of Rogers' money. It's all because Rogers has deep pockets, and it never works out. And Schneider should have been gone last year. And the only reason John Schneider is there, he's a firewall. He's a firewall for Ross Atkins because the first one that goes is going to be the manager. We all know that. But the first one that should be going, and it should be now, you got James Klick there who can take over, and I trust him to make better decisions than Ross Atkins. And I wouldn't wait till June the 1st. You know, he should be gone tonight.
Hey, Steve, appreciate your call. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
One more. Having me on and sharing it with
you. Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate you joining me. I actually think we agree. I'll say this for Blair and Barker. I don't think I've heard them once this season defend Atkins. I've heard Blair and Barker both go like pretty hard on Ross Atkins, right? I wouldn't say I would defend him either. It's just, I'm just saying like based on what these giant billion-dollar entities tend to do is they tend to be pretty conservative in their moves. And I agree with Steve in that they should not be conservative and that this is the time to buck the trend, let's say, and let go of someone that has not necessarily fulfilled their end of the bargain, at least over the last couple of years. You know, you do got to give Atkins some credit for building the rotation, but does it really matter if the rest of the team is bad? I would argue no, right? So I don't know. I think it's unlikely they fire Ross Atkins like in the middle of the season. Having said that, is it like it's never happened before for many other teams? Certainly not. It just doesn't happen all that often. But you're right. I mean, Steve is right about the payroll too. Rogers has given this team a lot of money, and this is the results you're getting. I mean, you got to think like somewhere above Shapiro. And again, I said this yesterday. I don't know who's pulling the triggers there. If it's Ed Rogers himself or it's the company's board of directors, but wherever it is above Shapiro, you got to think that at some point, like the rubber meets the road of you're making money off this team, but you're also spending a ton of money and not really getting anywhere success-wise, right? Because you got to think the other part of it is if the team is more successful, if this team is like the All-Star break and they're like in contention to win the division or it's the seasons like in 2015 and 2016. If just the way TV deals are structured and the way Sportsnet ratings are and all these different things, you're going to make more money, right? Like you're going to make even more money. So I got to think that's always going to be a consideration, but gosh, like the blame I think does lie with the roster construction. And that as we've talked about a lot today, goes back to Ross Atkins. I want to read a couple more texts before we go. 590-590, name and location. Let's see here. A couple of micro things. We went pretty macro today. Erickson from Calgary says, I don't know how much longer I can watch Romano throw a slider 3-2 and he throws a 98. If by some miracle the Jays are in postseason contention, do you see it happening with Jordan Romano as the highest leverage guy? I still probably say yes. It's just, I just feel like blown saves are, and again, it wasn't really a blown save because it was tied at the end of the game, but you know, blown moments from Jordan Romano and from really from anyone are so much more memorable than when he just comes in and just, you know, throws some water on the fire and just puts it out immediately. And it's like a boring ho-hum end of the game. And I do agree that I feel like that's happened less in the last like year or so. But I mean, this guy is also like, they're going to give him as much leash as possible because he is like, I mean, the guy is what, third, all tied for third, I guess, with Osuna for third all time in saves and like the history of the franchise. He'll probably never catch the Terminator. Cause I think Henke is like way, way, he's like more than twice the amount of saves, I think, above him. Dwayne Ward probably also not. But I mean, if you're like, if the guy behind you is Jordan Romano, then I think you feel okay about it. But they do need, like, they do need someone to help take the pressure off of him, which is what I think Jimmy Garcia is there for, because he almost allows you to deploy a closer in situations that are not save situations, right? Like, kind of like the Tigers did today, and actually didn't work out for the Tigers because they deployed Jason Foley against the heart of the Blue Jays lineup and they got him good. But And I mean, Blue Jays lost the game, so I mean, whatever, who cares, right? But at the same time, that is kind of how I envision the Blue Jays using Jordan Romano and Jimmy Garcia. You can use Jimmy Garcia to put out a fire when it's a quote-unquote save situation, not in the ninth inning, and then you can throw Romano in the ninth inning. I think it's I'm okay with that personally, but again, a large part of it has to be before these guys come on. You got to have other guys not named Jimmy Garcia and Jordan Romano get you outs. Chris in Toronto texts in to say, why did the Jays not sign Springer and Kevin Kiermaier to big money up front? Oh, I see. Like, why don't you front load the deals for guys decrease the amount of money owing on the back end, allowing the team to build as their contracts end? Is that just NHL? I could be wrong on this, but I think it's not as important. Front loading deals not as important in baseball because all deals are guaranteed. Whereas like in other sports, like in the NFL, for example, I think the NHL is guaranteed. I don't remember, but the NFL, for example, largely not guaranteed, right? And of course, a big part of front loading deals is like the immediate payroll increase, right? Like I think the Jays don't want to go into the luxury tax, probably at least a consideration, I'm going to guess. I see a text here from, there was a text, actually just lost it because another one came in, but there was a text about Don Mattingly and how if you do fire John Schneider, is Don Mattingly the answer? I would say no. I think it's a no. I don't know. I'm not going to go so far as to say this is Yankees roots showing, but no, in all seriousness, Don Mattingly, DeMarlo Hale, gosh, unless some kind of meaningful change for those guys is allowed to happen, then I'm not sure changing the manager is really going to mean all that much. And again, I said this yesterday, but gosh, you change the manager for a third time as the GM of this regime. I mean, how many teams get a chance to, how many GMs get a chance to do that unless you're winning tons of World Series? I would submit not very many. Anyways, appreciate all the calls and texts, guys. You guys are undefeated. Love being with you on Jays Talk. Appreciate you being with us on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by your local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Fort Erie and Dunnville. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection. For Ben Shulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Sho Ali. I'm going to watch a movie. I think that's more fun. That's more fun than watching the Blue Jays. That Mad Max is in theaters, right? That Furiosa movie? I'm going to go watch that. That's probably a better time than watching the Jays these days. Blair and Barker are back all week long. They'll have Jays Talk tomorrow on TV and radio, so we will fire up the back leg line for you. Have a great rest of your Sunday, everyone. Happy Memorial Day to the Americans. I screwed that up last weekend. Memorial Day is this weekend, so happy Memorial Day to the Americans out there. Have a great rest of your Sunday. I'll talk to you later.